Well, hello everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin. This is Turning Towards Life, which is a third space conversation, now properly and actually into its seventh year. We meet every week, Lizzie and I, and we know many, many, many people who you are also welcome around us, either live in our Facebook group or on our turningtowards.life website or on YouTube or Facebook or Instagram or podcasts. And we're so glad to be in this conversation with you and together, and to be here in the midst of the thick of it all, in the midst of the world. Lizzie, you and I carrying on. I'm so glad. I was saying to you before, I'm so glad to see you. It's really, really good to see you, and very good to be beginning with this source around courage that you've brought us.
Thank you, Justin. Hello, everyone. So this is how it goes here, is that we have this source, this time by Jan Richardson, and it's called Blessing of Courage. And I will read, and then Justin will read, and then we'll see what happens in the in-between of our conversation and reflections. Here we go. Blessing of Courage. I cannot say where it lives, only that it comes to the heart that is open, to the heart that asks, to the heart that does not turn away. It can take practice, days of tugging at what keeps us bound, seasons of pushing against what keeps our dreaming small. When it arrives, it might surprise you by how quiet it is, how it moves with such grace for possessing such power. But you will know it by the strength that rises from within you to meet it, by the release of the knot in the center of your chest that suddenly lets go. You will recognize it by how still your fear becomes as it loosens its grip, perhaps never quite leaving you, but calmly turning into joy as you enter the life that is finally your own.
This is Blessing of Courage by Jan Richardson. I cannot say where it lives, only that it comes to the heart that is open, to the heart that asks, to the heart that does not turn away. It can take practice, days of tugging at what keeps us bound, seasons of pushing against what keeps our dreaming small. When it arrives, it might surprise you by how quiet it is, how it moves with such grace for possessing such power. But you will know it by the strength that rises from within you to meet it, by the release of the knot in the center of your chest that suddenly lets go. You will recognize it by how still your fear becomes as it loosens its grip, perhaps never quite leaving you, but calmly turning into joy as you enter the life that is finally your own.
Thanks, Justin. So this poem, Justin, spoke to, well, I was going to say an experience, but many experiences I've had, I think, of when we step in some way to a relationship or a happening or an event or a piece of work or a conversation where it feels like there are so many reasons to run and so many reasons to defend my tender heart, and then something else happens other than the instructions that I'm being given to get out of here. And then when that happens and I have the contact with the part of me that is, I think, what Jan Richardson is calling the openness of my heart, that really says something about what I truly want rather than what the fearful parts of me want to keep me safe and to save me from myself or whatever. When that contactfulness with my heart is there, somehow something else has to arise in the place of all those stories. And I can do things that I just didn't think that I would ever be able to do. And so, and be in conversations that I didn't think that I was able to have, or take up opportunities that I just thought I was too small for, or too inadequate for, or whatever. And I think it's quite remarkable how I can kind of watch my fear loosen its grip as I step in and follow the voice that's not the voice of get out of here, but the one that's more truthful, more steady, more aligned with why I'm doing what I'm doing in the world, who I am, who I want to be. And then there's something else can arise. And I think that's why I, in my looking for a source this week, this resonated with me so much, because there's so much I'm afraid of. And that goes for like bodily afraidness. It goes for kind of imaginary afraidness. Goes for, you know, relational afraidness. There's so many ways I can be afraid. And then to know that I have in me something other than those things that can lead me and hold me, and different things that can arise than I ever would have imagined, that is possible, has me feel really grateful and inspired and hopeful about what can be done, given how scary it is to be human sometimes and to do things that feel outside of our realms of comfort.
I love that you just said how scary it is to be a human, because I was thinking, frankly, it's pretty scary. When we really look at how vulnerable we are and how quickly things can change and how everything changes and how we lose it all, and there's good reason to be afraid in lots of ways. We really want to honour that of us that is afraid, our fear and its place. And I also am very appreciating this sense that's in what you were just saying, Lizzie, and then expressed so clearly by Jen Richardson, that courage doesn't always come when we expect it. It when it arrives, it might surprise you, which also to me immediately suggests and honors that it doesn't just come often, maybe not for a long time, just because we call for it. And I want to honor all the running away. I think about all the running away I've done in my life from conversations I didn't want to have, or situations I didn't want to be in, or, and it would be so easy, as I have done, to be enormously self-diminishing about that, self-critical about it. But actually, when I look at it, I think nearly all of my running away was in the process of courage taking hold, was not separate. And I had to be afraid enough to run in order to learn what I wanted to stay in. And then I had to feel all the consequences of running. And then I had to practice trying to stay in a bit more. And then anyway, I so recognize this, when it arrives, it might surprise you, because I'm thinking about the times when I have, and I can think of a few very specific occasions where I found myself particularly in a conversation that I would have run from. And there I am. Here I am. Here, apparently able to stay in the conversation, and it's such a surprise. And the thing that's really helpful, one of the things that's really helpful in Jan Richardson's language is here is, if we know that our courage doesn't, at least whilst we're cultivating it, and I can think of lots of places where I still would run because I haven't got the courage for that thing yet, or I think I might not have the courage for it. If we know that our paying attention to it and practicing it and being gentle with ourselves, that it might not come because we call it, but it might come, gives us a chance of having some faith in ourselves, even when we feel like we're falling very short of how courageous we long to be. And also helps us to recognize it when it arrives. Because I mean, think about at least one occasion where what was arrived was courage, but because it had me speaking and being in such a way that was so unfamiliar to me, I think if I'd at the time I'd been able to go, oh, this is courage arising, it would have helped me in this work of recognizing this as part of myself, connect, you know, honoring, connecting with my own good heart in what was a really tricky situation to stay in. That goodness for people like Jan who will write this for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we know how to recognize the thing when it arrives that matters to us so much, and then we can tend it and we can take care of it and we can feed it and water it and honor it.
Yeah, it's so interesting, Justin, because when you were saying it doesn't necessarily come if you call it, I realize in this recent thing that I'm kind of referencing by choosing this source, which is doing a talk for some people, I didn't ask for courage, if you know what I mean. I was just afraid. I was just quite simply like, oh no, this is so vulnerable. What am I going to say? And how do I say it? And how do I convey myself properly? And, you know, there's all kinds of things I missed out and wish I should have said afterwards and everything. But in the moment, I guess I drew on my heart, if you know what I mean. I told everybody I was afraid, for example. I said, I'm really scared. I'm sitting here and I have to say some things to you that hopefully mean something, and there's a point in me being here, and I'm afraid of that, and I'm really grateful to you all being here with me, because this is, I'm taking my inspiration from each of you, kind of thing. I kind of didn't perform, if you know what I mean. I just said my reality, which I've, I guess, learned to do, because I know that that's a truthful, heartfelt, connecting thing to do. And what arose was a kind of honesty and a courageousness of keeping on going in spite of the fear. And as you said, the fear itself it can't live far away from courage. So anything that is scary has courage right next to it as a something that, a possibility that could arise if maybe we stayed with, rather than always running away. We could learn that, oh, I could maybe stay and see what happened. And this part which you pointed to as well, when it arrives, it might surprise you by how quiet it is. It's not like suddenly this courage arose and I became powerful and I said everything I wanted to say or something, but there was a kind of realness that came, and also a relief that I could speak from somewhere way more solid than performing or getting it right or saying exactly the right thing or something. And I think it was one of those experiences of feeling like what was real was much more powerful than what was I don't know, what would have been the best thing to say or the right thing to say. And this part at the end, the joy as you enter the life that's finally your own, I suddenly felt also very stable. It's like, you can't knock me off my realness. Like, that's not knockable, offable. And so there's a kind of a stability and heartfelt, straightforward, this is how it is-ness. You know, speaking from my humanity rather than giving advice or being bigger than or better than or older than or whatever the dynamics could have been. Because when I'm in this place of open-heartedness and a kind of undefendedness, what gets said is not a negotiable thing. You know, it's like, that's why this word power really resonates with me, because when I feel like if I'm speaking from a place that's mine and that's real, it's not a brittle kind of, oh, I could be knocked off my center at any time, because it's mine. So speaking from a place that's mine is very different than acquiring something and then not really knowing why I'm saying it, or and then having faith in that I do have a world that is mine and that I can speak from feels really radical to me. I just don't think that's really what gets taught, or like what happens in school and what happened in my schooling anyway. Just to speak from a real place feels quite rare in the world.
I'm thinking all the while you've been talking, Lizzie, about the connection between courage, the word courage, and cœur, the French word for heart, and how maybe we misunderstand courage when, in the way that you're talking about it, when we think that courage is something that we have to grasp at, it's like something we make, or it's out there and I've got to bring it in, we can run into that great mistake of a sort of imagining that we'll feel courageous if we put on a false suit of armor or something, that we armor ourselves up against the world. And what that produces is a kind of, at least in me, a kind of brittleness. Mm-hmm. Like in a way it makes it worse, because I've tried to make myself strong, but I can feel how shaky the foundations are. So whenever I've got up to speak, or I've written something that feels untrue, like I'm trying to create an image or something. And so I'm really taken by the connection you're making, that in a way, and that Jan Richardson is making, that in a way what we do is we uncover our own courage by going towards that which feels true and heartfelt, which also might feel shaky and feel vulnerable. And it's not that, it's sort of, the word vulnerability has become very fashionable, as if you just talk about vulnerability as a good thing in and of itself, and it may or may not be a good thing depending upon circumstance. I think it's contextual and all that kind of stuff. But to see that our truest strengths come from being in contact with our realness, and that the very inherent nature of our realness is shaky and vulnerable and uncertain and unknowing. That it seems to me is the path. And I'm thinking about all the times, I'm thinking about the big, as you were talking, I was thinking, what's my pattern with this? And one of my patterns was for a long time, feeling very afraid of what would happen if I ever disagreed with anyone. Mm. And the feeling that I would get, if I really spoke up, I would get thrown out of relationship, I'd get banished or exiled or something like that. And so I learned to really, really withhold what was really true to my own heart, and to massively censor myself. And so, of course, it seemed very frightening to speak up. But the real gift in those pivotal moments, after lots and lots of running away, was to find that, to speak up, to find out what was true, to say what was true, and include it in the conversation with another, didn't make my existence any less or any more shaky. Doesn't actually change any of those conditions at all. But what it did was, is it put me in contact with something in me that is not shaky, which is the longings of my own heart, the truth of my own heart, the unique words that I have to say that are the true ones. None of those are shaky. I have no idea what will happen from them. That never changed. Still as much at risk as I always was, just like I'm, you know, any of us who get up to speak or to write something. We're at risk of being shamed or being embarrassed or being misunderstood. And none of those things change, but somehow what we've got in contact, as Jan Richardson says, but when we are able to go that way, the release of the knot at the center of our chest lets go. And I really recognize what you're saying and what she says, which is, I really appreciated what you said, that fear is never far away. And to understand that courage is not the banishment of fear. Courage is learning to include fear as another kind of truth inside us, another kind of realness inside us. And when we are able to do that, when we are surprised by our capacity to do that, I also really appreciate that the words of this poem put fear next to joy.
Mm-hmm.
there is some mysterious connection between fear and joy that might have something to do with what's most alive, what's most precious to us, what we most care about. That all the alivening things rather than the deadening and flattening things seem to get called forth in this little, you know, sort of triangular connection between courage, fear, and joy that all seem to be so intimately related to one another.
So interesting. The thing that's rising for me when you're talking, Justin, is somehow I think part of my courage is also there's an underlying practice of being willing to be changed by the world and what people say that leaves my, like, if I do have an opinion about something, it's been informed by lots of being changed. Like, I'm noticing that where I feel way less courageous and wouldn't even put language to something is when I can feel an opinion or a place to stand is just really thin, and I'm not substantive enough in terms of lots of wondering about it and lots of conversation about it, whatever. So I'm noticing that part of my courage in the world comes from letting myself be wrong, letting myself not have a kind of confidence in something that doesn't really stack up in many different conversations or something, like that I can feel that part of my wish is to be changed. And, you know, recognizing just how, even this sounds strange to me saying it because I'm not sure it's the right word, but like just how profoundly uneducated I am about so many things in the world. And then letting myself be in conversation with many, many different kinds of people about that same thing and finding my way in a substantial way that includes much more than just what I would ordinarily be exposed to. That feels like a really important practice for me to kind of recognize as an underpinning. Like, I don't think my heart could be open to allow courage to be there unless my heart was really open in many different directions and many different people with many different people. I don't think I'd have the ground beneath me if I didn't have all of the connections and the wide network, I guess you could say, of influences, which can never be wide enough. You know, it's like one of those never-ending spectrums of wideness that I don't think I could ever have as much breadth of input as I would like to feel aware and like I was standing on something solid. But I can look, and I do look to different places to allow me to feel a kind of courageousness that leaves me able to respond to life and to come from a place where I'm not so ashamed of how little I know, but to just to be with that shame of how little I know, still keep asking questions and still trying to learn and still remembering I know relatively little by comparison to what there might be to know in the world and understand and to feel in the world, but that I'm not just on my own in my own imaginings of what's true or what's right or what's just or what needs to be said in the world to make it a better place.
As a sort of a closing thought from me, learning anew from what you're saying, Lizzie, that courage is not the same as trying to be right. But it's also actually not the same as trying to be safe. I'm all up for making ourselves safe from things that we can make ourselves that are worth making ourselves safe from, you know, things that will harm us. But the attempt to make ourselves safe in conversation with another, for example, doesn't produce courage. It comes from fear and it doesn't produce courage. Courage is that in us which is willing to be in the unknowability and the unsafety. And the I don't know. Maybe what we know with courage is we know the truth of our own hearts and the truth of what we feel and the truth of how we experience life from the place that we're in. That kind of truth is a root for courage. And all the, like you're saying, however much we know about anything, we only know, we may know one circle or five circles or 10 circles of a million or a billion or an infinite number of circles. So I'm struck by how courage both supports us in staying in the necessary unknown and how courage was also born of staying in the necessary unknown.
Well, Justin, thank you for this. And thank you for, both of our courage for sitting here in the unknown, as it feels like sitting in the unknown every week for me. And thank you, everybody, for being here with us. And we're going to be back next Sunday with another source chosen by Justin this time. And we're really grateful that you're with us, really grateful to be here. I'm really grateful to be with you, Justin, today. And just thank you all for participating in this quite somethingly wonderful community.
Thank you, everyone.